Good evening, everyone. My name is Deidre Statz, and I will be covering for Corinne tonight. She's driving home from an event and asked me to read with you, so I'm happy to do that. Just to start off, I'm going to be reading out the page references from each of the editions so you know where we are in the text. In the CE edition, we'll be beginning on page 748, which corresponds to paragraph 6. And we're going to be starting with the paragraph that starts with perception is a choice of what you want yourself to be. That corresponds to the original edition, chapter 25, part 2, paragraph 6. In the Sparkalytic edition, that is page 575, and it's the third full paragraph on the page. And in the FIP edition, it is chapter 25, part 1, paragraph 3. So there is our page references for you. And as we begin every week, I'd like to just spend a few moments going within, asking Holy Spirit to be in charge of our shared learning this evening. Just dropping into that still, quiet space within all of us. Remembering that we don't need to know, we can drop into not knowing, and Spirit will provide the rest for us. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the things that Holy Spirit gives. We're asked to do so little, just to be willing to drop into the awareness of the love that we are. Today on the worldly calendar, it is 11/11. And in angel numbers, that means oneness with all that is, oneness with everything. So I just thought moved to share that tonight as we prepare to read A Course in Miracles, the roadmap to oneness. So I will begin, as I mentioned before, we're going to be starting on page 575. I'm reading from the Sparkle edition, but whatever edition you have in front of you is fine. And as we normally do, we're going to read a few paragraphs and then stop as we go for discussion, questions, comments, examples from life. And that's kind of how we do these groups, is we read a little bit and we talk a little bit. So feel free if you have a question or comment or an example that you'd like to share. You can mute your line by pressing *6 and unmute your line to speak by pressing *6. So please feel comfortable, everyone. This is very, very interactive, our group. So we love to hear from you. So if you feel that you want to jump in, please feel free to do so. So, perception is a choice of what you want yourself to be. The world you want to live in and the state in which you think your mind will be content and satisfied. It chooses where you think your safety lies at your decision. It reveals yourself to you as you would have you be, and always is it faithful to your purpose, from which it never separates, nor gives the slightest witness unto anything that is your purpose to behold, for means and end are never separate, and thus you learn what seems to have a life apart has none. You, all in capital letters, are the means for God, not separate, nor with a life apart from His. His life is manifest in you who are His Son. Each aspect of Himself is framed in holiness and perfect purity. In love celestial, so complete, it wishes only that it may release all that it looks upon unto itself. Its radiance shines through each body that it looks upon, and brushes all its darkness into light merely by looking past it to the light. The veil is lifted through its gentleness, and nothing hides the face of Christ from its beholders. And both of you stand there before Him now to let Him draw aside the veil that seems to keep you separate and apart. And I'll pause there for a moment. And I'm just really struck by the beauty of that last paragraph in particular, the last few sentences. The paragraph we read tonight started off by reminding us that perception is a choice that we make, and sometimes we can perceive that, depending on which voice that we are listening to, as the course being quite stern, and maybe we can feel a little bit of resistance coming up around that, but then as we continued on to read, we got these beautiful imagery of the hopeful message that we cannot be separated from our source, Holy Spirit, God, love, and that at any moment, the choice for love is always there, and that light shines through when we are looking, we're willing to look past the form. So I just wanted to share that briefly. Is there anything coming up for anyone? Questions, comments, examples? Okay. I'm feeling called to just read this one part again, the last part that we read. So, you are the means for God, not separate, nor with a life apart from His. His life is manifest in you who are His Son. Each aspect of Himself is framed in holiness and perfect purity and love celestial, so complete it wishes only that it may release all that it looks upon unto itself. Its radiance shines through each body that it looks upon, and brushes all its darkness into light merely by looking past it to the light. Just beautiful, just beautiful. So I will keep reading if there's no commentary. Since you believe, all in caps, that you are separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it is in truth, but the link that has been given you to join the truth may reach to you through what you understand. Father and Son and Holy Spirit are as one, as all your brothers join as one in truth. Christ and his Father never have been separate, and Christ abides within your understanding, in the part of you that shares his Father's will. The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny mad desire to be separate, different and special, to the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one, really in capital letters. In this world, this is not understood, but can, all in caps, be taught. The Holy Spirit serves Christ's purpose in your mind so that the aim of specialness can be corrected where the error lies, because his purpose still is one with both the Father and the Son. He knows the will of God and what you really will, but this is understood by mind perceived as one, aware that it is one, and so experienced. It is the Holy Spirit's function to teach you how this oneness is experienced, what you must do that it can be experienced, and where you should go to do it. And I'm going to pause there. So I'm very intrigued by this first sentence that we just read in this last paragraph. Since you believe you are separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it isn't true, but that the link that has been given you to join the truth may reach you through what you understand. So I love this because the Course is saying, heaven is already here. It's that we are choosing when we believe in these small self, these separate identity forms that we have convinced ourselves are so real in this game of separation. That is so convincing that we've managed to believe that we can be separate and apart from heaven. But heaven, the state of heaven, is actually a state of mind, and it's here right now. It's not something that we need to be like searching for. It's here because that's who we are in truth, extensions of love, extensions of heaven. So I just wanted to share that because it was calling to me. Is there anything about what we've just read that anyone would like to share? A question, a comment, an example, or anything?
Hey, Deidre, it's Mayella.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I have a kind of a hard time thinking about like separateness still. I understand like the heaven metaphor of like, you know, just heaven on earth is like being peaceful and being like bliss and just very forgiving moment to moment. But when I think about separateness, it comes up a lot on the course. Mm-hmm. And what is it necessarily? Like, I just can't visualize, like, what does it mean when I'm separate?
That is a really good question. And what comes up for me when I listen to you is, like, the choice for separation is really unconscious. So it's not even something that we are fully aware of when we're walking through life. It's not like, oh, we're really aware that we, you know, wanted this. It's something that we're learning to accept, that we've chosen for separation. So it's not that we need to feel, you know, bad about it or that we've done something horrible. It's just that the Course is saying this has not occurred and we are being asked to accept. That's what the Course is talking about when it's talking about accepting the atonement, meaning accepting that the idea, the tiny mad idea that we can be separate or cut off from God, love, or source, isn't actually true. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about it, like, oh, is it something I'm just not doing? It was just kind of confusing when I read the Course, because it comes up a lot.
And another way of thinking of it is, like, we are one with all that is. So we are one with all of creation. We are one with our brother. We are one with all that is eternal, right? So when we make the choice for separation, so I'll just give, like, a tiny example. Corinne has talked about two different things being the same side of the fear-based thought system or the ego thought system, so politics. If you choose one political party over another political party, it's actually the same fear-based choice. There's not separate. So anything that is fear-based or divisive, so even something as small as, you know, our personality selves, the identified self, wants to be right, in life. There's a certain credit that we like to take for being correct. And if I think in my own life, anytime I have an opinion about something, that something should be a certain way, and if it's not that way, like I have an attachment to the outcome of a certain opinion. Like, let's just make up a really silly example. Let's say I like red over black, the two colors, right? In truth, red and black are both neutral things. The idea of them is the same. The meaning that I give red over black is different. If I'm favoring red, that means I am giving red a different meaning than I'm giving black. But really, they're the same thing. That's what separation is.
Okay. I'll have to chew on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Anything else coming up for everybody?
quiet day.
Yeah, it seems so.
Quiet
so
evening,
I'm
going
to I'm going to keep going in that case. All this takes note of time and place as if, yes, I read that already, so I'm in the right spot, correct? All this takes note of time and place as if they were desecrate for while you think they're part of you in separate, the concept of oneness joined as one is meaningless. It is apparent that a mind so split could never be the teacher of a oneness which unites all things within itself. And so what is within this mind and does unite all things together must be its teacher, yet must it use the language which the mind can understand, and the condition in which it thinks it is. And it must use all learning to transfer illusion to truth, taking all false idea of what you are and leading you beyond them to the truth that is beyond them. All this can be very simply, all this can very simply be reduced to this. What is the same cannot be different, and what is one cannot be separate parts. So I wonder, Mayella, if the part that we just read helps you at all with your question about separation.
Yeah, a little bit. I think I'm kind of a slow processor. I always process something in like a couple days. But
yeah.
I'm still thinking about actually your analogy of about the color red and the color black.
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, how the idea, how we give it meaning, but then I guess I'm still trying to think about like the separation in that situation.
Yeah. So another way that I've heard it described by different course teachers as well is there's a quote in the course that talks about all things that are real in the spiritual sense being eternal. So to believe in separation, we have to believe in the body or form, in that is like essentially perishable or you know, something happens to it and it doesn't last forever, so it's not eternal. So anything that withers and essentially dies is not eternal. So the course is essentially undoing our identity with the idea of death. And Nuke Sanchez talks a lot about this in her book, The End of Death, and how the duality of the world of form, in which we have invested so much of our identity, is all about that duality. And so anything that can perish and wither and die in spiritual truth is not real. And that is what we are learning or unlearning, as the case may be. And it doesn't matter where we are you know, like how much we accept that to be true or not. That's what the course is here to help us unlearn our, like, our grip on the fact that, you know, we can have these separate identities. We can be born, we can live, and we can die. So the course is, I'm drawn to these lines again. What is the same cannot be different. So we are one with our brothers, so we cannot be different no matter what color we are, what race, what religion, what opinions, what views on sexuality, any of that stuff. All of the stuff that we use in the world, right, to make our belief in separation real for ourselves. And then what is one cannot have separate parts. So in truth, we are all beautiful, diverse representations of the one sonship. We need each other. We learn through each other, and we're all interconnected. We're one. That's the oneness.
I think I get it now more, Kendri. So what you're saying is, separateness is more like just being away from truth. Just not aligning with truth. So separateness is not a bad, like, not like being left out or that, but it's almost like a choice. Like, so uniting with people or connecting with that is of God is more, that's kind of the goal of the course, to help us find our way, like atonement. That's what atonement is, right?
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that corrected my perception.
You're thank welcome. You. I'm glad it was helpful. It was spirit using me. So, thank you. Thank you for your share, Mayela.
Well, thank you.
Anything else coming up for anyone? If not, we can keep reading. The next section in the Sparkle edition is called Savior from the Dark. It is not evident that what the body's eyes perceive, is it not evident that the body's eyes perceive, our eyes perceive fails you with fear? Perhaps you think you find a hope of satisfaction there. Perhaps you fancy to attain some peace and satisfaction in the world as you perceive it. Yet it must be evident the outcome does not change. Despite your hopes and fancies, always does despair result, and there is no exception, nor will there ever be. The only value that the past can hold is that you learn it gave you no rewards which you would want to keep, for only thus will you be willing to relinquish it and have it gone forever. Is it not strange that you should cherish still some hope of satisfaction from the world you see? In no respect at any time or place has anything but fear and guilt been your reward. How long is needed for you to realize the chance of change in this respect is hardly worth delaying change that might result in a better outcome? For one thing is sure, the way you see and long have seen gives no support to base your future hopes and no suggestion of success at all. To place your hope where no hope lies must make you hopeless. Yet it is this hopelessness, your choice, While you would seek for hope where none is ever found. Is it not also true that you have found some hope apart from this? Some glimmering, inconsistent, wavering, yet dimly seen, that hopefulness is warranted on the grounds that are not in this world? And yet your hope that they may still be here prevents you from giving up the hopeless and unrewarding task you set yourself. Can it make sense to hold the fixed belief that there is reason to uphold pursuit of what has always failed on grounds that it will suddenly succeed and bring what it has never brought before? Its past has failed. Be glad that it is gone within your mind to darken what is there. Take not the form for content, for the form is but a means for content, and the frame is but a means to hold the picture up so that it can be seen. A frame that hides the picture has no purpose. It cannot be a frame if it is what you see without the picture. It is a frame without meaning. Its purpose is to set the picture off and not itself. And I'm going to pause there. So I'm always struck at the course's use of humor. And when I was first studying ACIM, you know, like 6 years ago, I was full of fear and I didn't recognize a lot of the humor at times, but I was really struck by the paragraphs that we just read. Every time it was asking a question, the course was asking a question. So let's see. To place your hopes where there is no hope must make you hopeless, yet this hopelessness is your choice, while you would seek for hope where there is none ever found. So, like, I'm at the point in my spiritual practice now where I can see the humor in, like, the insanity and the, you know, like, how funny it is that we, when we think the world of form or the world that we see is so real and that, you know, the struggles that we are going through is so real, we can forget to laugh. And it goes on further to say, where was it here? Trying to find the spot. Is it not also true that you have found some hope apart from this, some glimmering, inconsistent, wavering, yet dimly seen, that hopefulness is warranted on the grounds that are not of this world? For me, that is pointing, like, let me just back up here for a second. On the one hand, the paragraph is talking about how much trust and faith we have in the world of form and our identity of with the body. And then on the other hand, it's talking about how we know there is something more, that we have these experiences of trusting in what we can barely see with our eyes. Yet there's hopefulness is warranted on the grounds that are not of this world. So even with all of the stock that we place in the identity of the small self and of the world of form, there is this part of us, this inner knowing, this inner guide, this teacher that knows, that has like such a solid awareness of the truth and what is true. And that knowing is always with us, even when we are fearful, even when we are experiencing our, you know, problems in the world of form. That paragraph particularly stuck out to me. Does anybody have anything that they want to share? I'll just say also, I love this analogy of an empty frame. It says, a frame that hides the picture has no purpose. It cannot be a frame if it is what you see. So again, the Course is teaching us to look beyond beyond what the body's eyes can see. Without the picture is the frame without its meaning. So without the body, what meaning are we giving the world that we see? So once we put like the workbook into practice, for example, and Jesus is teaching us how to begin to learn how to see beyond the body's eyes, how does our perception shift? What meaning, how does meaning shift from the meaning that we give with our body's eyes versus learning to see our body, our brother, as he truly is an expression of love in the world? So it doesn't mean that we'll stop seeing like the physical image of a body, but it does mean that we are developing our awareness of how to see with what Jesus calls Christ vision. And the Course goes on to say here, its purpose is to set the picture off and not itself. So we're shedding the belief in what the body's eyes believe it is seeing, and we're learning to see the truth beyond the picture, if that makes sense. And I just think that analogy of the picture and the frame is really, really cool. Does anybody have... Hi.
It's Mayella again.
Hi.
I actually just read this. I mean, I have the book, you know, the Course in Miracles book, but the blue one, the Inner Peace Foundation. But before that, I started on the Alan Cohen one, you know,
uh-huh.
Meditation. And I actually was just reading this because I kind of just took it out recently, and I just kind of flipped to the pages. There's something about the way that the author describes things that's just so dumbed down. It's just so chewable for me. So I was reading about that the frame, the picture in the frame analogy he puts it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really brilliant to think about it in that way. Like I never I almost wish I would have gotten that lesson as a teenager.
Yeah.
Because you know? I remember there was a period in my life where I was so focused on my goals. I was so focused on my appearance. And that, and now it's that was totally the frame. Because those are the things they didn't give me. Once you know you reach the goals and look up, however you want to look, right? Then it's so unsatiable. There's just almost an addiction. And the things that I think of that are a picture are they're so fruitful, but there's so few of them. And that's why I like the course. I continue to read it because and continue to drop in these calls because I just get so much out of it. I mean, I feel like what we talk about is just the picture, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love that example, Maya, because you touched on a couple of things which I think are really cool. You mentioned the word addiction, and that's so true. That to me is what the whole belief in separation and guilt itself actually is an addiction. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not the truth, but we're so conditioned to hang on to it, and it's unconscious guilt, so that makes it even our work with Holy Spirit is just being aware of how deeply these beliefs are ingrained into our experience, right? And all our work is to just be willing to share where we're at with Holy Spirit. Oh, here it is again. Here's that belief. Here you go. And then Christ's vision giving us the sense that there is so much more than just the frame.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more truth and deep love. And but if you're only seeing the frame,
mm-hmm.
you're missing the meat of the picture,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's really cool to. And it's not that we're bad if we're only seeing the frame. It's just that we're learning another way of seeing.
Mm.
So once you know that there is another part to the picture that you weren't aware is there was always there, but now all of a sudden it's being revealed to you, it becomes exciting. It's no wonder the frame by itself was so unfulfilling, right?
Yeah.
Not satisfying. I feel called to keep reading unless anyone else has anything to share. So I want to keep reading. Who hangs an empty frame upon a wall and stands before it deep in reverence, as if a masterpiece were there to see? Yet if you see your brother as a body, it is but this you do. The masterpiece that God has set within the frame is all there is to see. The body holds it for a while without obscuring it in any way. Yet what God has created needs no frame, for what he has created, he supports and frames within himself, his masterpiece, he offers you to see. And would you rather see the frame instead of this, and see the picture not at all? The Holy Spirit is the frame God set around the part of him that you would see as separate, yet the frame is joined to its creator and with him and with his masterpiece. This is its purpose, and you do not make the frame into the picture when you choose to see it in its place, the frame that God has given it, but serves his purpose, not yours apart from his. It is your separate purpose that obscures the picture and cherishes the frame instead of it. Yet God has set his masterpiece within a frame that will endure forever when yours has crumbled into dust. But thank you not, the picture is destroyed in any way. What God creates is safe from all corruption, unchanged and perfect in eternity. Accept God's frame instead of yours, and you will see the masterpiece. Look at its loveliness and understand the mind that thought it not in flesh and bones, but in a frame as lovely as itself. Its holiness lights up the stillness of the frame of darkness, hides and casts a veil of light across the picture's face, which but reflects the light that shines from it to its creator. Think not this face was ever darkened because you saw it in a frame of death. God keeps it safe that you might look on it and see the holiness that he has given it. And I'll pause there. Wow, what a beautiful paragraph, or few paragraphs. What sticks out to you guys? I'm going to throw it out to you since I've been talking a lot tonight. What strikes you? Okay, well, I will say I love this part here. God has set his masterpiece within a frame that will endure forever, and yours has crumbled into dust. But think you not, the picture is destroyed in any way. What God creates is safe from all corruption, unchanged and perfect in eternity. And then it says, accept God's frame instead of yours and you will see the masterpiece. So we were talking earlier tonight about accepting the atonement. That's what it means to atone, is to accept that the separation, the belief that we can be separate from our source, from love, is false. That's what we're doing when we accept the atonement for ourselves. And you will see the masterpiece. Look at its loveliness and understand the mind that thought it not flesh and bone, but in a frame as lovely as itself. Holiness lights up the sinlessness. The frame of darkness hides and casts a veil of light across the picture space, which but reflects light that shines from it to its creator. Think not this face was ever darkened, because you saw it in a frame of death. God kept it safe for you, that you might look on it and see the holiness that he has given it. So it's, to me, that analogy, it reminds me of, like, we've used this analogy of the sun before, like God being the sun, right? And like, so the Holy Spirit is always there. We can think that clouds come in and darken it and cover it up. But really, like, what is eternal is always there behind. So no matter how much we believe in this, you know, idea that we can be cut off from love and separate from God, the sun is always there and it's always accessible, no matter how fearful we get and how real the fear seems to be. The sun and the light from the sun is always there. Within the darkness, see the Savior from the dark, and understand your brother as his Father's mind shows him to you. He will step forth from the darkness as you look on him, and you will see the dark no more. The darkness touched him not, nor you who brought him forth for you to look upon. His sinlessness but pictures yours. His gentleness becomes your strength, and both will gladly look within and see the holiness that must be there because of what you looked upon in him. He is the frame in which your holiness is set, and what God gave him must be given you, however much he overlooks the masterpiece in him and sees only a frame of darkness. It is still your only function to behold in him what he sees not. And in the seeing, in the vision shared that looks on Christ, your brother, as a body, it is but this you do. I read the wrong sentence. Sorry. It moved on me. I'm going to read that again. So I'm going to find where I was. Okay, so God gave him, must be, however much he overlooks the masterpiece in him, sees only a frame of darkness. It is still your only function to behold in him what he sees not. And in this seeing is the vision shared that looks on Christ instead of seeing death. How could the Lord of heaven not be glad if you appreciate his masterpiece? What could he do but offer thanks to you who love his son as he does? Would he not make known to you his love if you but share his praise of what he loves? God cherishes creation as the perfect father that he is, and so his joy is made complete when any part of him joins in his praise to share his joy. This brother is his perfect gift to you, and he is glad and thankful when you thank his perfect son for being what he is, and all his thanks and gladness shine on you who would complete his joy along with him, and thus is yours completed. Not one ray of darkness can be seen by those who will make their father's happiness complete and theirs along with his. The gratitude of God himself is freely offered to everyone who shares his purpose. It is not his will to be alone, and neither is it yours. And I'm going to pause there because we read a lot there. But the overall theme that comes through is that we need each other. We learn through each other. And it's by seeing the oneness in one another which offers the atonement or Christ vision. So when we are able to see our interconnectedness, our oneness, and our collective innocence instead of our, you know, judgment or condemning or anything that is going to choose for separation, we are seeing with Christ's vision or spiritual vision or eternal vision. In this idea of interconnectedness that we've been talking about tonight, or oneness, he says, his gentleness becomes your strength. So he's talking about your brother. When we see our brother as whole, his gentleness becomes your strength, and both will gladly look within and see the holiness that must be there because of what you looked upon in him. He is the frame in which your holiness is set. And what God gave him must be given you. So as long as we are holding anyone as separate, any part of the sonship as separate, we are essentially cutting off a part of ourselves. So our one job is not to feel, you know, guilty that there is any kind of judgment going on. All we're asked to do is take that judgment, take those thoughts, take whatever is happening, whatever beliefs we're holding on to, and give those over to Spirit and ask to be seen through the eyes of love. That is what we're being asked to do. And we don't do it alone. We ask for Holy Spirit's help to repurpose what it is that we think we are seeing. So what comes to mind is the Course lesson that talks about, I am never upset for the reason I think. When we take that upset, whatever upset we're having in the moment, to Holy Spirit and ask for that upset to be repurposed, we're saying, I don't understand what anything is for. Holy Spirit, please show me what this means because I have misinterpreted it. I am not at peace. I need your help to see this correctly. I don't know how to see this correctly. And I think that's really beautiful, and it really simplifies what the Course is asking us to do, because we can overcomplicate it and think that we need to do so much more. But all we are being asked to do is give everything that we think that we see. You know, it talks in the Course about God's will for us is perfect happiness. Well, if we are not feeling happy in a moment, then we must be looking at something without Christ's vision. So our one job is to say, oh, there it is again. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me to see this differently. So it's not that we stop having the thoughts that we do. It's just that we have the willingness to continue to have those thoughts, those things repurposed with Holy Spirit's vision. And nothing gets left behind. No person, no political figure, no family member, no friend, no coworker, nobody. We need every single one of the sonship. Nobody can be left behind. And look at that. We are at the top of our hour. I just want to open it up to see if anybody has any final comments before we close and any final thoughts.
Hey, family.
Hey, Carla.
Hey there. Hi. So good to hear you this evening. I was wondering, where did you read from, Deidre?
We were reading from chapter 25. So if you're in the CE edition, it was page 748. And we began with paragraph 6.
Chapter. What's the name of the chapter? Because I don't have my book in front of me, but if you could tell me the name of the chapter, that would be helpful.
I am reading from the Sparkle edition, and it's called The Fundamental Law of Perception.
Wow, okay. All right.
Yeah, I was hearing you talk about the mirror, the frame, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I must say, that's one that still my ego seems to be confusing.
Okay.
I always mix up the frame and I don't know. I guess the frame is the story and the content would be the Holy Spirit. Go always for the content and not the frame, because it's pretty and everything. Like a good looking person, they're pretty and everything, but if they're not in touch with the truth, at least some part of it. It might not be the most pleasant relationship.
Well, so, you just said that you didn't understand, but from my perspective, you just nailed it right there. You nailed it.
Oh. Well, okay then.
Yeah, you got it. Bang on.
Yeah, I stand corrected then.
Yeah.
Start talking about rubies and dripping with jewels, and I'm like, what? So... I'm so glad that I've had the motivation to continue to study and to practice, and the people that I study and practice with, because that's what's really helped me to get a better understanding of this course, what it has to offer. It's so funny how I just really find it to be the main thing that I want to do. I don't feel like I want to read something else, because I think I'm going to miss something. I just want my life to heal. I want my mind to heal so that my life reflects that so much that I feel afraid not to do it, to be quite honest.
Beautiful. I love that. Amen to that, Gwen Carla.
I don't know what else to do. What would be better than this? My thinking is still in need of healing, and the distortions are so prevalent. So I'm choosing for the content, the content of love, the content of peace and innocent and holy loving and sinless and guiltless. Because I still think... unconsciously, I feel like I need to be punished for something. I don't know, because an innocent mind doesn't believe it deserves to suffer, and so it doesn't attract that kind of stuff. But apparently,
I'm still thinking the opposite. So I guess I just needed to say that.
Thank you for sharing that, Carla. And I think it's beautiful that you have that awareness. And so anytime you touch on even little glimpses of that idea of punishment, right? Our job is simply to, here is a little bit of that again. I'm willing to look at this with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing me another way to see this, right? That's all it is being willing to share all of those little pieces. Because when we do it, we're doing it for all of us. We're all interconnected. So all of the sonship benefits from that. I hope that you all enjoyed tonight. I know it's always a little bit different when Corinne is away. We get sort of like used to one specific person and energy, but I really enjoyed being with you all. And I really hope that you enjoyed tonight's reading as well. Thank you for joining me. And if anybody has any final thoughts, feel free.
Well, just a question, Deidre. I was talking in mute. Are you available to speak after the call, or are you going to go eat?
I could be available for about 20 minutes or so. Yeah.
Okay. So just, well, ring me whenever you're ready.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you. And thank you for facilitating this meeting, too. I appreciate your service, sister.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. I love you all. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.